Hello, Bonnie.
Hello, Daniel.
How are you?
Good. I just almost made myself laugh while we were doing the room tone thing, because I was thinking about how hilarious it would be if I just, like, out of nowhere projectile vomited all over the table.
Well, it kind of would have gone through the windscreen in front of the mic, and then probably into the porous part of the mic itself. So it probably would have seeped in?
What if I, like, was able to avoid any of the tech stuff and just, like...
Just the table?
Just the table and the ground. Like, I feel like we could find the joy in that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have an incredible sense of humor, and I think we would both agree immediately. Like, well, we have to keep that in. That's the start of the podcast, is you making a vomit noise.
Yeah, I mean, I've been feeling a little off today, like a little, like a low hum of nausea.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking to myself, like, man, I wonder if I'm going to throw up. And then I thought it would be very funny to throw up during our room tone 10 seconds of silence.
If you're going to throw up, that's probably the funniest option. Yes.
Listeners at home probably don't know just how many times Dan has helped me while I've thrown up. I like went so many years without ever throwing up. And then, like, being with Dan, he's just seen me at my worst. There's so many incidences. And every time, he's always at the ready with, like, a bucket. And every time, I miss the bucket.
Oh, the worst is definitely, can I talk about our wedding night?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, we had our suite that Taco Bell set us up with in Planet Hollywood. And we had everyone, you know, our whole family and all of our closest friends and everything there. One of the best nights of my life, for
so
sure.
It was
incredible. But, you know, you're not much of a drinker,
no.
By any means. And but, like, weddings seem to get you to
imbibe. It's a celebration.
A yes.
You got to do
and it.
It
was our own wedding,
yeah.
And everyone was there, and you had some drinks. And, oh, boy, did you... That was the end of the night. I'm glad you made it to, like, the end of the night when people were kind of winding down anyway.
Yeah.
Because at one point, like, I went into the bathroom to, like, check on you. And I was like, oh, dear. We had gotten that comically large pizza. And I saw, like, full pepperoni things strewn about with the vomit all over the floor. And I remember kind of poking my head out at everyone that was still kind of up and partying and stuff. And being like, hey, I'm going to be in here for a bit. I think she might be not feeling great. And then people just being like, oh, okay. And I think the party was moved elsewhere. And I cleaned a lot of vomit on our wedding
night.
Yeah,
well, I mean, yeah, we had the courtesy of not just leaving it there for the...
Oh, yeah. A lot of towels.
People to take care of.
Need some deep cleaning on those
of
towels,
course.
For sure, yeah.
But you know what? I'm sure it's nothing that they haven't seen at a hotel in Las Vegas. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ, like a party suite?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, that's minor, I'm
but,
sure.
Yeah, the other time was like, okay, so here's the thing. Like, I don't drink a lot, and when I do drink, I drink with the intention of getting drunk and having
sure.
a good time. So, like, the other time I remember was, well, this actually, you weren't really in part of the equation here, but was when we went to that Thank You Scientist show, and I drank, like, I was just having, like, a bunch of beer, and I'm not used to drinking that much beer. We went to a diner afterwards, and I, like, went in the bathroom, and I was so drunk, like, that I didn't lock the bathroom door, and it was one of those deals where you open the door, and it's just, like, a toilet right there. It's not, like, a bunch of stalls. And I was just sitting on the toilet, and I was, you know... just sitting there trying to feel better. And someone opened the door, like a lady that was a customer there. And as soon as she opened the door, I just vomited all of them. So she not only got the shock of seeing someone on the toilet, but then I immediately, this is making me look really bad. Just to be clear.
Was it before or after the night? That was that night at the diner when you vomited on my pants.
That was the same night.
Yeah.
That was the thing is, I just don't drink a lot. So
no.
I'm not trying to paint myself out to be some kind of party girl or
Jesus,
anything like
I
that.
I maybe see you drink once a year, if that.
It's like a once a year thing for me. Yeah. Weddings or special occasions, like the occasional special occasion has to be really special.
Sure.
But yeah. So Dan's, and then there was that other time where I got my wisdom teeth removed, and like, you know, the pain medication can make you really nauseous if you like have it on an empty stomach or something. And I had that, and I was just feeling terrible, and Dan comes with a big bucket, and I, like, strategically avoided the bucket and just vomited all over the floor.
It was like tomato soup or something, too.
Yeah,
wasn't
it was just tomato soup vomit. It was bad.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of that. Dan's a sport.
Oh, well, yeah, it's the least I could do.
Anyway, sorry about all the vomit talk at the top here, people listening.
Did you just have that in your head because of our subject on this podcast today?
Well, and also just my feeling kind of nauseous today.
I guess both things could kind of coincide.
Right, yeah. This movie, Space Jam New Legacy, did make me want to vomit in my mouth and then swallow it again and then vomit
Jesus
that
Christ.
Up again.
Razor.
It's just an endless cycle, yeah.
It is... Okay. First of all, before we go into this movie, and there are some things we hated this movie. We usually don't say right up top that, like, hey, we hated this movie, but, like, we both, like, this is my kryptonite in a lot of ways. But I want to ask two questions here.
Sure.
A, did we enjoy the original Space Jam when we saw it as kids? Mm-hmm. And B, if we were kids and saw this movie now, mm-hmm. would we have enjoyed it? Are we just cynical, bitter adults that can't find joy in stuff? Or is this objectively terrible?
Well, to answer your first question, I did enjoy the original Space Jam as a child.
Okay, me too.
I liked all the different aliens. I thought they were neat. I didn't much care for the basketball aspect of it, but I liked the aliens. It's hard to say if I were a kid now, because I feel like kids now are exposed to media like cartoons and movies and stuff that are intended for children, but are much more smartly written than they were when we were kids. And so they have that, you know, added layer of like adults can appreciate this. So I feel like the average kid, let's say, how old is the average kid? Like 6, maybe?
I think there's a whole spectrum. There's 0-year-olds and there's like 12-year-olds.
But like the type of kid that would be watching this film.
Who is this marketed towards? I would say, let's say 6 to 12.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, as a 12-year-old, I would have, yeah, no chance I would have liked it. But I feel like the average 6 to 12-year-old kid now is exposed to better shows, a higher quality. They just have higher standards.
Do they? Or is it all just, hey, here's Peppa Pig?
Well, I think there's obviously a range. I think really young kids can find joy in just someone going like, gibbly goobly gobbly, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it takes a lot for
Baby
like,
Shark, that's a thing, right?
Yeah.
What, like, do kids like? Baby Shark, Paw Patrol, and
Nerf guns.
Fortnite? I don't know if they like Nerf guns are cool.
They like Minecraft, right?
I think Minecraft's day might be, day in the sun might be over. I feel like you don't hear about that as much anymore.
I don't know what the kids are into.
I think it's Paw Patrol and Fortnite. I think auto chess might be not a thing anymore.
Oh, okay.
We don't know anything about kids.
No, we don't. And even though we were kids at one point. But
yes, both of us.
Yeah, I feel like there's a certain age of child that would just appreciate the silly wackiness and the abundance of references. You know, I feel like there is a market out there for that.
Of course. You know, what kid wouldn't love Casablanca and Clockwork Orange references?
Of course. Even Matrix, movie. Right? I mean,
yeah, Fury Road.
20 plus years old. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was confusing me because it's like, okay, you're making references to The Matrix and Casablanca and Clockwork Orange and Game of Thrones and stuff. And those are obviously references that only the adults watching would understand.
Sure, so maybe that's a bone they're throwing to the adults, because it's not like inherently violent. Like, even though like fucking Clockwork Orange is definitely the least kid-friendly movie you could imagine, mm-hmm. but there's nothing inherently about some guys with like, you know, weird hats and white clothes in the background that like a kid would be like, oh.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the extent of the references are, it's not like taking anything meaningful to the movies.
No.
It's essentially like just someone wearing an outfit of the character from the
yeah.
movie.
Yeah, hey, remember the mask?
It's
hey.
More or less just an acknowledgement of these movies that I guess are under the Warner umbrella now.
It's just Warner just parroting like, hey, look at all these properties we have. It is like, this is the most brand-centric, brand synergy. Like, this feels like a movie that was made by a marketing department.
It seems like a movie that was meant to just show off the catalog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it says a lot, too, that, like, the conceit of the movie is that this algorithm wants to make content or a feature film or something.
I was confused by that because it's like, okay, so Algorithm mm-hmm. is Don Cheadle, who is cashing right in here. I can't blame him. I can't blame Sarah Silverman. I can't blame anyone who's just like, oh, you want to give me how much money mm-hmm. to stand in a green room for a bit and do this mm-hmm. thing? Like, sure, make your money. But that's to be said, like his dialogue is, everyone's dialogue is terrible in this movie. The plot is terrible. So Algorithm lives in the Warner serververse and is introducing this Warner 3000 tech where it can like scan you into Warner properties. So like, oh, you can be in Harry Potter, you can mm-hmm. be in Game of Thrones or whatever. And he wants LeBron, well, above all, Algorithm wants acknowledgement, right?
Yeah, it says a lot that Warner is essentially saying that we use algorithms to make our content.
Well, that's the thing. It's like there's no real self-awareness or winking at the fact of like, oh, this is just some fucking, it's like SEO the movie. It's just this like cold corporate brand. Like, I was trying to think back at like, I don't remember a lot about the original one, but I was trying to think, is it so heavy on the brand stuff? And I looked it up, and like, it did come about because like the director of the movie was having a conversation with like a Nike executive, and they both realized that like, oh, Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny. So like, it came from this brand thing, but it's not this insane just spout of nonstop branding as this one.
Yeah, yeah. And for no reason other than just like set, you know, just like background decoration, you know what I mean? And yeah, it, like, it would have been interesting if it went into like the moral and ethical repercussions of like duplicating celebrities for like, especially dead celebrities for like current media, like, or the Fred Astaire thing. Holograms. Yeah,
that was the famous one of the first ones. Yeah,
yeah, and more recently, like there was this Anthony Bourdain documentary, and they used like fake technology to replicate his voice. Yeah, like there's a lot of like ethical issues associated with that, and if LeBron took issue with it because of that, you know, that would have been. It would have made the movie like 1% more like, all right, well, at least it's acknowledging that. But instead, he's not into the Warner 3000 idea just because he wants to focus on basketball or whatever. He thinks it's a really stupid idea, but he doesn't explain why.
Yeah, there's no moral of like, oh, things should be made by, you know, come from creativity and joy rather than like a server, like an algorithm that's like churning out content, you know?
Warner makes itself look so bad in this movie.
They do.
Like the executives, like Sarah Silverman, that whole group, like they just came across as total assholes.
But it didn't seem self-aware. It didn't seem like they were like doing it on purpose. Like it felt like it was this big, like, check out the celebration of our properties, you know?
Yeah, it was, oh boy.
Which, there must be so much gold in, like, green screen raw footage of just a bunch of people in, like, Game of Thrones winter guys and the mask and all these guys, like, just gesticulating wildly. Like, just, they're in the background constantly, like, not reacting to what's happening on the court.
Yeah.
They're just constantly, like, just constantly in the background. I couldn't stop looking back there. And, like, I guess that's what they want you to do, is, like, oh, there's the clown from It. Oh, there's this thing. Oh, there's a bunch of Matrix guys. You know?
Yeah, yeah. It was just like idle animations looping.
Yeah. But then, like, so he wants acknowledgement, but then he sucks LeBron and Dom into the server portal.
Yeah, and their mortal, like, their actual physical bodies disappear from reality for some reason.
Yeah, they completely disappear. And then, like, the grand plot is like, okay, I'm going to try to befriend LeBron's kid and get him to play basketball with me because he created this basketball game, Dom Ball. And I'm going to make LeBron play his son in basketball and beat him to escape the server. And if he doesn't, then LeBron and everyone has to stay in the server forever.
Yeah.
For what purpose?
Exactly. What does Algorithm have to gain from everyone just being in that server forever? You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Also, like, another dumb motivation. Like, LeBron has an issue with his son pursuing game design. Because I guess he finds it more realistic that his son would be a professional athlete. Like, I know game design is a very difficult field to get into, and it's extremely challenging.
Unless you go to the E3 game design camp.
Unless you go there. But I would venture a guess that becoming a professional LeBron James tier athlete is even more of an elite exclusive group, right?
Yes.
So it's like, dude, he made a video game, which we'll get into in a second. Why don't you, you know, encourage him to do what he wants to do, which is clearly this and not play basketball.
Well, I think the idea throughout much of the movie is that LeBron thinks games are a waste of time because we see a flashback at the beginning. He's a child, and Avon Barksdale makes him throw his Game Boy in the trash.
After he plays it for, like, he's playing it for, like, 1 minute, and then Avon is like, you got to focus on the game.
Not
you know?
This stuff,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, he was playing for a freaking second.
Which, to be fair, I guess a lot of, like, older school people, like, people in the, like, 80s or whatever, or I guess this was set, oh, yeah, that was weird. This was set in 1998, and it was an original Game Boy, which... Original Game Boy was more of an early 90s thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's a nitpicky thing. But, like, I met parents, you know. I had a stepmom that was like, why are you wasting your time with these toys, you know, and call toys. Like, so, like, that happens. And so, like, the idea of, like, LeBron being like, oh, you got to focus on sports and not, like, that's realistic-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, my God, this is my kryptonite, is depictions of video games in movies and television that are clearly written by people who have never played a video game or have only heard, like, phrases like cheat code, power up, style points, high score.
Yeah.
It's just like, because that's the shit you're seeing all the time. Like, cheat codes, if you explained like a cheat code to a kid today, I don't know if they would know what you're talking about. Because, mm-hmm. like, that's from, like, the Genesis, like, getting, like, the blood code from Mortal Kombat or the Contra code in the 80s. Like, we play games now. We keep up with all the games. When was the last time you put in a cheat code?
Right.
You know? And yet here it is, this game that he's creating, Dom Ball, which in 2021 has cheat codes and also looks like a fucking prototype of, like, a late 90s sequel to NBA Jam or, like, a prototype of NBA Street.
Well, you know? It doesn't look like a great game. I find it really fascinating that, like, we watched Hackers a few months ago, and that was, what, from the mid-90s?
Yeah.
And, like, the depiction of, like, programming, any kind of, like, digital, like, you know, location, if you're in something and it manifests digitally, it always looks the same. And it always, like, they haven't figured out how to do that effectively at all.
No.
It just always looks so absurd. But Dom is 12 years old. And I won't deny that there are some, you know, prodigies out there that can, you know, program at a very young age. But he's 12 years old. He's by himself. He develops a fully 3D basketball game with a bunch of different mechanics, it seems. And not only that, he developed the scanning tech necessary to where he just essentially, like, photographs a basketball player in real life and is able to have that character model and the animations. It all the
wireframes them. Yeah, both their external, like, skin and also the wireframe motion capture and everything. You just hold your phone at him for like 2 seconds and it's like, oh, they're in the game now. But make sure you don't put any glitches, because if they do a certain move, they'll get deleted from the game.
Yeah, like, listen, I've played so many games at early stages, and I've seen a ton of glitches in my life. I've never seen one that deletes a character model from a game.
Yeah. And I know you and I are very entrenched in games in the game industry, so I'm sure this rubs us especially the wrong way. But it's just like, when they say things that are like, oh yeah, so this is Dom Ball, so like the better you do and the cooler moves you do, the more people tune in. Like, how did no one just be like, wait, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Because, like, when he was describing the game, even before the serververse nonsense or whatever, he was like, oh, yeah, my game, like, the better you do, the more people tune. Like, he was acting like that was a feature of the game. Like, oh, right. If you get enough style points, you get more, like, people on Twitch watching it or something.
And that's the thing. It wasn't like he was streaming it on, it was being streamed on Twitch. Like, it has integration with, like, the audience within the actual game. It's just, like, an absurd thing that, like, there's no way a 12-year-old child could independently create this. And it was bad anyway. Like, you're absolutely right. It looks like a game from, you know, the late 90s.
Well, yeah. And I love, like, arcade basketball games and everything. But it's just, this looks so stupid. It's just this, like, wireframe blue crowd and everything with these, like, shitty-looking characters. And I know we're getting nitpicky with that. But, like, every time they showed any video game thing in this, mm-hmm. I was just like, this is the lamest shit in the world.
Yeah.
This is every show that, like, somebody is playing, you know, Tekken Tag Tournament, but the sound effects are bleep, 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 just Space Invaders. Like, what?
Yeah.
Just get one person that knows video games on the
playing, set. Playing, like, a 360 game with an N64 controller.
Exactly. Yeah. That type, like... Mm.
I mean, I feel like it's gotten better in some ways. Like, you'll see actual games pop up in movies and whatnot, but I feel like the more mainstream a property is, the less it will devote to accurately portraying video games. Like, think about... like that movie Serenity, what was it? That Serenity, there was a Russian doll where she was a game programmer at like a rock star level developer, and she was like,
the walk is broken.
Yeah, I can't get this walk cycle down.
Yeah.
It's just like a, oh my God.
And here's the thing, is like, this is probably a thing in any movies where it's like, if we were scientists with a podcast where we watch movies, I bet there would be a million movies where we'd be like, I can't believe that they're explaining science like this. Or if we were like military guys, I bet we'd see a million action movies that are like, oh, did you see the way they were reloading or how like unrealistic this is? So I'm sure it's not specific to video games that movies don't depict them correctly. I just think we might be especially in tune to that because we were so entrenched in games.
Yeah, but I also feel like any video game player, which is a lot of people, because a lot of people play video games now, would see that and feel bothered by it.
Of course.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it just makes games look like every stereotype that anyone who doesn't play games thinks games are. It's like, oh, they're toys or they're bleeps and bloops, and, you know, it just makes them look really dumb. And even the actual basketball, when they're playing the game, is filled with that stuff, where they're just, like, picking up, like, power-up pads and throwing them, and then it's just, like, they'll do, like, a windmill thing. It'll be like, windmill bonus. Or, like, Taz will do a tornado. It'll be like, whirl spin bonus. I don't understand this video game at all.
Yeah, it would have been, I would have liked the movie way more if Dom was just, like, programming much more realistically, programming, like, a text-based adventure. It's like, Dom has a match. What will Dom do? Dom lights a fire. What will Dom do? Dom walks out of the room. What will Dom do?
Yeah. Have you ever played Don't Shit Your Pants?
No.
Oh, it's like that. It's great. After this, you should play Don't Shit Your Pants. It's a browser based game.
I had this browser based, like text based RPG that I would play when I used to be a receptionist. So just always have it and open another browser window. And yeah, it was great to be able to escape while still being at work.
Browser stuff is great for that. Mm-hmm. I remember like Newgrounds and all that stuff being big. You're just like, oh, just go to a website and play it.
Like, especially flash games. like the text based ones. Like if anyone walks by, it doesn't look like an actual video game.
I didn't even think of that. It doesn't look like a platformer or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just kind of reading, so.
Man, I just have so many questions about this, because it's like, first of all, we talk about what kids are into these days or whatever. Are kids into fucking Bugs Bunny? Like, Bugs Bunny was a relic when I was a kid.
That's a really good point.
I loved Looney Tunes, but at the end, it's like, Merry Melodies, copyright 1962 mm-hmm. or whatever. And it's like, I knew I was watching, like, old man stuff in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? I know, like, Mickey Mouse and everything, because Disney are apparently masters at, like, branding and stuff. Like, Mickey Mouse, as far as I know, Mickey Mouse hasn't been in anything actual since mm-hmm. 1934. I don't fucking know. But he's still relevant because the Disney brand is very strong.
I feel like at this point, he's more of a symbol than an actual character, right? He represents Disney. He's a mascot, more or less.
Sure.
I feel like the problem is when the original Space Jam came out, you know, it was kind of before the ubiquity of the internet, before like countless millions and bazillions of streams of entertainment, so many options now versus previously, you know, you were a kid, you were pretty much watching the same TV as all the other kids, watching the same cartoons, watching the same whatever, you know, with some variation, of course. And they're like, Bugs Bunny was recognizable by all kids, you know what I mean? Because they're just, you know, kids were watching Looney Tunes, kids were watching cartoons, Animaniacs.
They would do cartoons before kids' movies where it's like, oh, you'd go to see Roger Rabbit or something, and beforehand you would see, like, that might not be a specific example, but you'd see those cartoons ahead of time. So, like, I would see Bugs Bunny in the movie theater. Was that, I don't know if you ever saw that.
I've seen stuff like that, yeah. So, my point is, like, you know, there just wasn't as many options, and because of that, people were more aware, people had the same points of reference.
Yeah.
So, whereas now, like, there's just limitless options, and every kid has their own little niche thing that they like, right? And there is no, like, one singular thing that all kids will look at and be like, and all people, really, will look at and be like, oh, yes, I know. And when something like that does come around, it's very rare. Like, for example, Game of Thrones, I feel like people were unified in that for a while, and then obviously it fell off the face of the earth once it ended. But it happens rarely, you know? And I feel like Bugs Bunny, it worked back in the late 90s when the original Space Jam came out because everyone knew Bugs Bunny as a point of reference. And now they, in modern media, contemporary media, there just isn't that point of reference anymore. So, like, if they were to use a more modern cast of characters, like, what would that consist of? It would need to be something that's really recognizable, and that just doesn't really exist.
And I feel like references nowadays are more fleeting in terms of the public eye and consciousness, because like so many things are memes now. Mm-hmm. So like references now are like, oh, it's like the, like, I don't know, fucking meme, like the damn Daniel or whatever, or oh, it's like the, you know, the This Is Fine dog or something. Like some stick around, like you'll see some, like actually the Drew Scanlon blinking thing is stuck around for years, mm-hmm. or the This Is Fine dog. But then like there's always just that meme of the day, like, oh, the guy who drinks cran apple juice and is on a hoverboard and listens to Fleetwood Mac. Like that was, everyone was talking about that for like 4 days.
Right.
And then it was like, you'll never hear about it again. We kind of remember it now, but tell us this in a year, it's going to be like, what? Uh-huh. And it's like, we'll vaguely remember it if somebody showed it to us. But that's the thing, is like references are so fleeting and constant that like every day there's some meme or trending thing on Twitter or TikTok or Instagram or something.
Yeah.
So it's not like, hey, remember Bugs Bunny, this icon that was around for like decades anymore. Right. It's, hey, remember this thing that was big for 4 days.
Yeah, and people just don't have the attention span that they used to because they're consuming so much more. You know, I don't think it's, I mean, obviously it is bad that people don't have the attention span, but it's because, you know, their mind is now equipped to, you know, consume so much at the same time now, you know, versus before it was very much more of a singular focus. But yeah, I think that's a really, really good point, Dan, that like, at the end of the day, are kids actually going to be excited by Bugs Bunny and his goofy antics? Like, I don't really think a lot of kids will even recognize him at all,
no,
you know?
I don't know if this is going to satisfy kids seeing the movie. I think this is a movie that is satisfying, like, branding people at Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, the brand synergy here. We'll get, you know, eyes on, you know, The Matrix and Game of Thrones and all this stuff. All the great Warner properties, you know? Like, Man.
Also, I felt it was just really lame that they felt compelled to make the Looney Tunes into, like, render them in 3D.
Well, yeah. They already looked weird because, like, as cartoons, mm-hmm. they were, like, a little too shaded and stuff.
Yes, you know? That's what I wanted to say. Like, first of all, their character models don't lend themselves well to 3D design. Like, different considerations are taken when you're designing a character that's going to be represented in three dimensions versus two dimensions, right?
Yeah.
And secondly, like, I was kind of distracted at times when they were in the Toonverse, when things were still 2D. Like, it didn't have that quality that I expected. It felt like it was missing frames. Like, they didn't hire the necessary in-betweeners that they had previously. Like, it was more jagged and less fluid. And yeah, there was way more of a color palette. It was just distracting. They felt the need to modernize even something that, you know, its appeal is that it's older. And, you know, the qualities that make it unique and awesome were born out of necessity to accommodate that older technology, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like the idea of modernizing these classic cartoons almost kind of defeats the purpose to me, because it's kind of like, well, no, like, you know, it's these historic cartoons and everything. Don't try to modernize them and make them CG Porky Pig rapping.
Yeah,
you know, like, we don't need to make them hip.
Right. And I didn't have any, granted, I was a child when the original Space Jam came out, but I don't remember the dissonance between a live action Michael Jordan being among these cartoon players. I don't remember that bothering me at all. I wish they would have preserved the 2D style of Looney Tunes characters, because I, you know, the whole environment is 3D, all the opposing team is, you know what I mean? Just hold on to some relic of what once was, instead of trying to update everything and, you know, certain qualities being lost in the process, you know?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, is like, whenever you've got so many huge properties and everything being involved, like between LeBron and Looney Tunes and Game of Thrones and Harry Potter, that means there's a ton of money behind thing. And so this movie looks expensive.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to say it looks good. It just looks expensive. It is, like, kind of garbagey looking. Like, just the whole thing looks like it was filmed in a green dome and just a bunch of shit shoved in there. Like, it looks like shit.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like it would be a huge challenge to try to come up with some semblance of, like, a unified design when you are mixing all these different IPs together from not only different IPs, but from wildly different eras, like Casablanca, Clockwork Orange, Game of Thrones, you know what I mean? Like, there's, how do you come up with an environment that would be conducive to all these different styles? And so I feel like the only option is shit. And that they should not have made this movie.
Well, about halfway through the movie, almost exactly halfway through the movie, I remember you just being like, oh, I wish we didn't have our self-imposed rule of, like, not being able to do other things while we watch Panic!
I wanted to play Monster Hunter Stories 2 so bad while watching this movie.
Because this is genuinely terrible. And I remember you were like, I know exactly how this is going to end. And I recorded it. I paused the movie. And so now let's listen to your prediction as you said it halfway through. It is 11:38 p.m. It is July 19th. We are 54 minutes and 53 seconds into Space Jam, A New Legacy on HBO Max. Bonk seems to be greatly enjoying the film so far. And she did just say, though, that I don't need to watch the rest of this movie. I already know what's going to happen. So for posterity's sake, I'm now going to hand the phone over to Bonk, who will explain what will happen in the final hour of this film. Bonk?
Yes. Well, this is just my broad strokes projection. So the serververse guy, LG Rhythm, is going to create this, like, superpower team of probably, like, weird aliens, like the first Space Jam. They're going to go against the Toon game led by LeBron. LeBron's going to be thrown off by the fact that his son is on the opposing team and he has mad handles now.
Level 100
handles, and level 100 and another attribute, and I missed what that one was. I don't even think they said it. Anyway, it's going to seem unlikely that the Toon team will win. There's going to be a lot of, like, push and pull. Ultimately, I suspect that there's going to be a swerve, and LG Rhythm's team will actually win, but then father and son will reconcile, and son will finally earn his father's respect, or it'll be something like... LeBron James would be like, son, you didn't need to do all this crazy shit just to earn my respect. You know, something like that. That's all that's going to happen. We don't even have to watch the rest of it.
Well, there's only one way to know for sure.
I know.
And that's by watching the final hour of Space Jam.
Painful truth.
A New Legacy. We'll check in, Bonk.
Yeah.
So that was largely accurate.
Yeah, I gave it too much credit by thinking that they would throw a swerve in there and have like a Rocky-esque, you know, the quote-unquote bad guys win.
Sure.
I gave it too much credit. So what I missed there was, obviously, the good guys persevered the whole way through. And I missed the aspect of, like, the kind of obvious aspect of Dom and his dad going, like, uniting against Algae Rhythm.
Sure, at the end.
But yeah, just horribly predictable. And also, you know, nothing gained whatsoever from watching it. Like,
oh no,
not even
better people.
Yeah, yeah. It isn't even like I'm proud to check that one off my list. You know what I mean?
No, it was just garbage. The one moment of the entire movie that kind of made me think like, oh, that's kind of clever, is when they did the Michael Jordan bit.
Yes, that was nice.
That was the one thing where I was like, okay, that's funny. And Michael B. Jordan seemed pretty like into it, and that was kind of clever.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan in anything will elevate it for sure. I think that guy's fantastic.
Oh yeah,
Creed was awesome. I have to watch this. I only saw those movies once.
I saw the second time I watched Creed, I was like, shit, this is even better than I remember. Like Creed 1 stands up there with any of the best Rockies for sure.
That's cool.
There was another line though that was okay. There's the part where LeBron is passing the ball into Bugs, mm-hmm. and says like nothing loony. And then Bugs is like, oh, nothing loony. Like, we're not called the Fundamental Tunes. And I was like, okay, that's all right. That's an all right line. But those are the only, like, brief flashes of life in the entire movie.
It's just
line,
like a vague grin on your face, and that's it.
That's pretty. I'm just nodding that, like, oh, somebody thought about that and wrote something vaguely clever. Yeah. There's the part where the new player unlocked. Again, somebody just looked up, like, what are video game terms? And this Kronos guy shows up, and he's like a time dude. And he just does the exact same bit from the Sonic the Hedgehog movie at the bar, where he, like, pauses time and like does a bunch of silly stuff and then like unpauses time, you know?
Why doesn't he just keep like pause time every time at the start of a new match play? You know, like I feel like that would give him a huge advantage.
Yeah. And then, so the thing is too, the algorithm wants to leverage LeBron's followers. So somehow in the real world, everyone via some nebulous app sees like epic live stream starting, mm-hmm. and their physical bodies get pulled into their phones. But then like everyone in the crowd was just like the mask or whatever. Yeah. It's like, I didn't see a bunch of like barbers and stuff, like the guys who got pulled in, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think all the normies were in the back.
Oh, okay. Like the flight attendants, which were the first ones they showed for some reason.
That would be really dangerous if flight attendants were just like zapped out of the flight they were on. I mean, they're necessary in times of emergency,
what if
right?
The pilots did, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
And then it's just like, at the end, they realize, for some reason, the thing they need to do to win is to do the glitch move. But like, mm-hmm. oh, whoever does the glitch move is going to be deleted. And then Bugs Bunny commits suicide via fadeaway jumper. That's a thing that happens in this movie. Bugs Bunny's like, I'll do it. It's like the end of Armageddon. It's just like, wait, he's just like signing up for suicide to win the basketball game?
He super dies, yeah.
Well, yeah, so he dies. He gets deleted from the game. And there's like a full-on like death scene for Bugs Bunny in this fucking movie. But then he just shows up at the end in the real world, completely unexplained. LeBron is taking his son to E3 game design camp, which, oh my God, I wish... I would love to see the brand meeting of like the ESA trying to get like E3 branding into this fucking thing.
Oh, which, yeah, totally.
By the way, as someone who has kind of dealt with the ESA and been to like 15 E3s, that tracks them just trying to like do lame branding stuff.
Because
like the plans for last year's E3
were
the thing where it's like, oh, it's the line. There's some stupid fucking like meshing of the like a line and entertainment where it's like, we're going to have these pods where people, you know, brands can showcase things while people wait in line. It's like, this all sucks.
Just desperate attempts at relevancy from E3 is like, and you know, looking at like the scope of like games conferences, especially in the US, like within the bounds of the US, there's PAX. There's GDC, there's E3. I'm sure there's a lot of other ones that are more specific and everything. Like, E3 has a unique offering in that it's the one that is the fusion of media and consumers, right? How could they fuck it up so royally that they are in the position now where, like, Sony doesn't even bother to participate? You know what I mean?
It's just got more and more irrelevant every year. You know, I've been going since 06 mm-hmm. every year, and every year for the last at least 5 years, it has kind of felt like, oh, this is going downhill.
Yeah. I think, you know, obviously rise of the internet and people like realizing how you could just do Nintendo Directs. And
that was maybe the first domino to fall is yeah. Nintendo used to rent out the fucking Kodak Theater every year. We would go there and they would put on giant fucking stage mm-hmm. shows with DJ Robbie drums and Miyamoto or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly they realized, why the fuck are we spending this money? Let's right. cut together a video. It makes it so there's no onstage kind of fuck ups or anything, like the one with Miyamoto and Skyward mm-hmm. Sword or whatever. Like, they get to deliver the message exactly how they want. It can all be approved before it goes out and cost a fraction of a fraction. And at what loss? People fucking love Nintendo Directs. It's yeah. like the biggest thing on Twitter every time one of these goes up.
Right. And I think also it coincides with just kind of like the media landscape evolving in games. Like, you know, not to insult anyone in media and games now, but like, it's just not, they're not as relevant as they once were. Yeah. Like, now all these developers have their in-house media team, yeah. which is just
here's
PR.
Here's the PlayStation blog. Here's the Ubisoft blog.
Yeah,
here's...
that are like directly communicating with their communities, like on Twitter, on Reddit. You know, the communities themselves are the ones that are spreading the word about yeah. whatever new announcement there is or anything. So it's, they're not as relying on like, you know, traditional media coverage.
EGM writing up a thing about their E3
yeah, or
conference.
Even like,
yeah.
you know, Polygon or like, yeah. that's why like you hear about like these articles on Kotaku, like it's, they're not making waves for breaking news. It's all opinion pieces now. It's...
Sure. And that's why like that's a big part of the reason I'm just checked out
yeah,
of that
totally.
Landscape is just like, I don't need to know what somebody has to fucking say, like their hot take on some...
Yeah, and it's all so self-indulgent too. It's like, oh, my experience as XYZ has really affected how I think of this game. It's like, okay, that's great.
Yeah,
this doesn't affect me at all. This is not informing me at all about any of the aspects of the video game.
It's not
game.
A purchasing decision. Like, I used to like open up EGM and be like, oh, what did the review crew say about yeah. Soul Calibur? Shit, they all gave it 10s. I guess I have to get Soul Calibur. Yeah. Like, that's why I grew... I know I sound like old man yelling at Cloud here and everything,
no,
but like,
I'm with you.
That is the shit that I loved reading video game magazines and early video game sites for. Now I just look at the landscape and just like, I don't give a shit about yeah. any of this.
I want to know what the game does different, if anything, what mechanics it features and how it makes you feel like as a player playing yeah. the game, not emotionally as someone who has an experience in, you know, as a tuna a head cutter off or whatever, just to reference Edith Finch, I don't know. Yeah, it's unfortunate, but it is the way of things. It's a natural evolution. So yeah, I think E3 was going up against that tide, but I feel like if it was handled better, managed, they could have adapted. But at this point, it's a lost cause, and now they're just paying inordinate amounts of money to have their E3 gaming camp, developer camp yeah. featured in the new Space Jam movie.
That'll turn it around, because the E3 branding was so... That's the thing. E3, it was a huge deal at its peak for gamers and people who followed gaming media. But like, when I would tell family members who didn't play games that like, I'm going to E3, they didn't know what the fuck E3 mm. was. It's not like the branding is that strong. So throwing the E3 logo on a Space Jam movie is just another fucking logo, another brand in a sea of nonstop brand synergy and... Yeah, it's just the lamest, coldest, most corporate movie. Like, it's...
You know, was made with an algorithm.
Honestly, it does. It feels like... I can't believe I'm going to defend this, but it feels like Ready Player One without any kind of heart or creativity.
Uh-huh.
Like, I thought Ready Player One was pretty fucking lame. I did not... Like, it was fine.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh, angry about it. But, like, it did seem like a very kind of pandery, like, oh, here's every entertainment property. But this felt even colder, because
right.
this felt like, here is all of our great Warner Brothers brands. And it just felt so much more like... Ready Player One was at least a story,
well,
and Spielberg
yeah, and
was involved.
There was world building in it.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
yeah.
you had that dystopian future where, you know, cities were just stacks of shipping containers mm-hmm. and people live their lives in VR. Like, that's an interesting
there's something
concept.
There.
Yeah, like
there's something
weirdly dark to that. I you know, similar to you, like all the references it was constantly making, like a wink and a nod references, were super lame. But you know, I think the idea of a metaverse and like a virtual reality that everyone is a part of, I feel like at some point that will be an inevitability, right? I mean, like, beyond our lifetime.
Sure.
But, and it's cool to explore that idea. Here there was, the only taste of the real world we get is that the LeBron James estate at his fucking massive basketball court surrounded by tropical trees in the hills of LA or whatever. It's just so out of touch. It just does, it's just heartless, soulless.
It, to me, that whole vibe, the coldness of this movie, it's just like, it gives me, it's the same reason I hate like Funko Pops. Mm. Because it's just like, I just hate the idea of just like a reference being all it takes. Like, it's not saying anything. It's not doing anything. It's just a bunch of cut and paste stuff. Oh, but this one is fucking Iron Man. And this one is a fucking, I don't know, any gaming property. There's a Sonic Funko Pop.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, okay, I like, there are a lot of things I like that have Funko Pops, but I don't want to just buy it just because, like, remember Mario, you know? Like,
it was, all the references in the movie are just like this thing and this thing and this thing.
This thing exists is the most it has to say about anything.
Versus, like, we were talking about The Simpsons recently with their Rear Window reference, and it's like, it integrates it into the show to where, like, you're not going to recognize that reference unless you actually are familiar with the property that it's referencing. Whereas here, it's just like, oh, the dragon from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
The Clockwork Orange guy. The cafe from Casablanca. Like, it's just, like, showing you these things directly. It's just so mindless.
Well, yeah, but with Simpsons, part of the genius is that, like, even if I never saw Rear Window as a kid, but, like, even without that point of reference, that storyline of Bart looking with the telescope and the Flanders thinking he murdered, you know, like Maude and everything, like, that just works as a storyline, but then there's the added layer of the reference if you get that.
Right.
This one, it's just like, look, if I haven't seen Mad Max Fury Road, I'm just like, what the fuck am I watching? If I haven't seen The Matrix, I'm like, why is Speedy Gonzales? Like, it's just, who gives a fuck? It's not saying anything. It's not doing anything. It's not clever, you know? Oh, I just hated this shit.
It's bad. I mean, but it, you know, it is as bad as I expected it to be. Like, I really had no expectations for this whatsoever.
As soon as I started seeing clips on Twitter of, like, here's CG Porky Pig rapping, I think I knew what I was in for.
Oh, yeah, that was definitely a low point. in a sea of lows, that was a low point.
I kept looking over at your face during that part, and I was like, trying not to audibly laugh, because you had this look. A lot of times, if something like lame or cheesy or something happens in a movie, you'll kind of like smile and be like, oh, wow, geez, this is dumb. Like, I can't remember. Oh, like in Fast 9, when you were seeing that, I would look over at you and you would just be like, oh, boy. Like, you were like emoting and stuff at the ridiculous stuff. Here, something like Porky Pig rapping would happen, and I would look over at you and it was just like someone just like, you were a robot and someone just took the main computing chip out of your brain and it's just like you shut down. Like, your eyes are open, but you're not emoting. It's just no emotions happening on your face at all.
Oh, yeah. It was deeply unpleasant.
Yeah. It's a bad movie.
Yeah.
It's a really bad movie.
Really bad. I don't recommend it. If you want to have a good time with your kids, there's something. There's got to be more fruitful, rewarding things to watch out there. Don't waste your time with this.
Yeah. This is a...
Show them The Matrix. Just show them the actual Matrix. They'll probably be really confused.
Yeah.
But you can just, you know, tell them that, listen, this is all a fabrication. We're all living inside an artificially created world and everything's zeros and ones and nothing is real. So you can do whatever you want with no consequence. Go on, kid.
What
live
can
your
go
life.
Wrong? Nothing can go wrong. Yeah, I would struggle to think of a colder, more corporate movie than this.
Yep.
You
this
know?
This is just a really long marketing presentation.
Yeah. And you know there are just a bunch of branding people fucking high-fiving themselves over this synergy. It's just like, oh, you fucking soulless bastards.
It's truly amazing how once marketing and, you know, money people get their hands on something, creativity just is all siphoned out, like, immediately. Like, once that becomes the goal, to just stuff as much stuff as possible into something for the sake of recognition and, you know, brand awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Creativity can't coexist with that.
No, absolutely not.
So, this was a movie made by a massive team of hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Not from the mind of a singular auteur. And I'm not saying, like, the only things that are good are things that come from auteurs, but there's definitely a correlation between quality stuff and it coming from a singular mind rather than a giant team of people.
I've got the Wikipedia pulled up, and there are 6 people credited with the screenplay and 4 people credited with the story of this.
Wow.
That tells you quite a bit right there.
That's all you need to know, yeah.
So ultimately, hey, you know, hope you got a nice payday, Don and Sarah, and, like, you know, a bunch of talented people involved with this for sure. Can't fault them at all for being part of it. But boy, does this shit suck.
Yeah, it does suck.
Yep.
Really sucks.
All right, that is Space Jam, A New Legacy. It's on HBO Max if you care to watch it. But you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have any obligation to. But hey, thanks for listening. Thanks to all of our patrons. We're at patreon.com/paintingthestream. Bunch of benefits there for our $1-$5 tier a month. It's early episodes.
Wow.
It's ad-free episodes.
Wow.
Access to the Discord.
Wow.
And a Bonku written specifically for you by Bonk. Bonk, who do we have this week?
This week, We are honoring our friend J-C-H-F-L-A.
It's a bunch of letters.
It's a bunch of letters. But thankfully, it's not more than 7 letters, beautiful. So I'm able to fit it into a pocket.
Excellent. Let's do it.
There was no pattern in J-C-H-F-L-A. It was just chaos.
I like that. That was probably an easier one to like, okay, well, there's 7 there, so you know that's in the middle, so you just got to put something on the top and bottom.
Yeah, well, actually, it's 6, but yeah.
6, yeah. Well, there you go, J-C-H-F-L-A. Okay, all right, well, hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, and, I hope that put a smile on your face, person.
Yes, bunch of letters.
Bunch of letters.
Thank you very much for your support. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast, tell a friend. Bonk, thanks so much joining me this week. Thanks to Tom Honor for the theme song, as always.
Brother.
And we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.